Fourth time's charm. Hey, we're live.
You know what? Hey, I kind of want to lead right in with that and then never address it again. All right. Very good. Ben, I love it that you're here. I love your patience. I love that you're still rocking here with me. I appreciate you generously. Is that a way to say give appreciation? I appreciate you generously.
I appreciate it. Generously, it implies that you didn't really want to, but you're so generously, kind of graciously willing to.
Really?
I don't know. That's not true.
I thought it more of like a lot, like I'm being generous. Oh, like, yeah, oh, I want to give you a bun. But either way, I like the first one. I like what you said.
Better. That's probably better. No, I generously accept your appreciation.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that you'd be so generous as to accept all of it. It's all good.
This episode of 38 at 38 is presented by A Very Merry MSP Holiday. 25 days of giveaways of amazing gifts for MSPs near and far. Simply register for a chance to win, then, beginning December 1st, each day we will randomly select a winner of that day's gift. To learn more or register to win, visit go.oit.co/Christmas.
Ladies and gentlemen, guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, all you wonderful leaders out here, welcome to 38 at 38. My name is Aaron Bolton. I'll be your host on this wonderful wild winter wonderland of fun, of love, and of jobs. It's Christmas time. You see the hat? We got a B back there for Ben.
For Ben.
We've got Ben. You've got some wonderful decor. But before I get into your decor, I want everyone to say hi to Mr. Ben Bunting, a very, very good friend of mine. Ben, we have known each other for a good minute, man. We've known each other for
probably 14 years. Yeah, probably 2008, maybe, or
no. Five, you were my groomsman. You were one of my groomsmen. I got married in 07, so we've been friends since like 05. Or well, we've known each other from 05. Fun times doing pranks in church, which was, you know, one that I still do, I'm not going to lie, about a few minutes before church starts, you know, people are talking. I just did it like 3 weeks ago. Every now and then I'll go, shh, and get everyone to be quiet and then look around like, why are we?
Yeah, you do it too early. You do it a minute or two early and there's this awkward moment of we're being too quiet and there's 2 minutes left on the clock and no one's getting up there.
Yeah, and then what I noticed last time is I timed it just right, not on purpose, but right when people were like, okay, let's start, and they start talking, then church service starts, and they're like, good times. It's been a fun time. We've worked together. Like I said, you were my groomsman. We were both groomsmen in Dustin's wedding. We've got some history here. We've got waffles and pancakes and a bunch and picking up trash couches on the side of the road to bring into your house. So much fun, so much history. But
yeah, we were probably a job like 27 to 38, and the money we were making then
was
non-existent. I mean, we became friends, if we were friends in 05 and then you're getting married to 07 08, there, you know, the housing market crash.
Yeah,
trying to find jobs at our age post college, or just, you know, those were lean years for young adults trying to survive in Tampa when people were losing houses and such. And so that's why we had a lot of waffles, because it's just, you know, batter and picking up used couches on the side of the road to,
But we had a lot of fun.
Yes, they give you some life experience. We were just broke and we were broke now. Like, look, I'm surrounded by Christmas decor.
Now I've got a wood wall. I've got lights.
Microphone. You got a wood wall. I mean, really, life is good. I mean,
we're living the life. We're living it up. Awesome. So, welcome. Talk a little about yourself, Ben. Really brief. Like, what's the main industry that you've been in, that you are in? Let's start off with that.
Man, so.
And then we'll get into some wild and kooky stories.
So it all started in 1982. I was just a little baby. I wasn't in the industry or any industry at that point, really, until closer to, I graduated in 2005 and bounced around from odd jobs trying to find
my first. That was a big jump.
Really, my timeline was, we just got way over here. And I got some good high school jobs, like everyone does, I can talk about here. But it wasn't until a buddy of mine helped me get a job at ConnectWise. And we both worked at ConnectWise for all, but it was my dad was visiting his dad in West Virginia. Me and my friend just happened to both live in Tampa. He was working at ConnectWise and he was my shoe in, foot in the door, just starting in support. And so since 2011, I've been in SaaS and primarily doing MSP SaaS stuff. And so that's what I've been doing. I took a step out for a bit and worked in marketing tech in the enterprise space for a bit. And so I've been in Florida ever since then, ever since I graduated college, came to Florida, moved in with my aunt. And just loving the SaaS space and the MSP space. And I think I'm going to stay here for as long as I can. I enjoy it. And it keeps me sane and keeps my family fed.
So I had a previous guest on the podcast. And during the podcast, I think it's during the podcast, he said that he wanted, Connor Swain, by the way, Connor Swain. Mm-hmm. Do you know Connor?
No, I just saw him on the podcast though.
So he said that he wants to have, I think he said the best SaaS company or the biggest SaaS company.
Yeah.
And I just went like a 12-year-old. I was like, wait, did you mean to say that? And he goes, say what? I'm like, just keep going.
He had it penciled down. He's like, this is going to be great.
Right. This is going to be a killer. Everyone's going to get this. All right. So, thank you so much, Ben. So here's the gist of this podcast. I've had 38 jobs by the age of 38. I'm 39 now, but by the age of 38, I had 38 jobs, and it's really, I'd love to get into this podcast episode by episode. We talk about another one of my jobs because each one of my jobs have just some ridiculous point to a ridiculous story, ridiculous substance to it. Okay. Just every one of them, just ridiculousness. Or maybe I just like to find the ridiculousness in every situation.
On those 38 jobs, you count, like, did you start mowing lawns at age 13? Does that count as a job? Or are you
so,
does it have to have a W-2 to be officially on the list? Because I have 11 or 12 if I include mowing lawns.
I count something that you do for money on a regular basis where you have some customers depending on you. So that's how I put the
old ladies. They depended on my, me showing up mowing that lawn for $12, whatever it was. So that counts. All right, 12. I don't have nearly as many as you. I like to think of myself more stable than you are.
I get that. What I find is funny is that everyone comes on and they're like, they, not everyone, but people make that joke and they're not making that joke. They're thinking it too. They're like, oh, okay. But it really has been a large bulk of those jobs have been due to hustle. I mean, due to like having three jobs at one time. I mean, I've had that multiple times in my life and starting working really early, like really young and not stopping working. There's always some jobs that I've had to do.
Do you regret making a job change? Is there one job change you regret the most? Where you're like, man, if I would have just, the grass was supposed to be greener.
The grass
needed to be cut better. I mean, it's hard to say that because then things happen after that job that you might not have gotten the next job after if you didn't make the one bad switch. So it's a little hard to go back. But is there one job in particular you thought, man, I should not have made that switch?
No, I can't think of one, man. I can't think of one. Even so ConnectWise, right? Went through a lot of shuffling and restructuring, but I got laid off in the huge layoff of 2019. Mm-hmm. I got laid off and I wasn't even mad. I was mad. I mean, honestly to say I wasn't mad at all is a lie, but it was really small. Like I got it. But that, and I have a wonderful, wonderful wife who supports me. And because of that situation, that led me into where I am now. And man, I've got more time freedom. I got more options available. I've got, because I'm unemployed.
I'm just taking over here.
Go for it.
How long after the layoff did you tell your wife? did you give yourself a good 4 hours just to like sit there, or did you go home right away and say like, no?
Well, we were talking about it. I think I remember talking about
your Amazon account.
So I remember talking about it the Friday before it happened, and we called. You called, or I talked to you, and I was like, "Listen, man, I don't know anything. Like,
we're all losing our jobs."
But from what I said, but I think I'm gone. I think for my reason, I think, and I started telling you. You were like, "No," and I started telling you.
Really, like, I was going to say, telling me, I was probably like, "Well, maybe." No, well, yeah.
You were like, "I don't know, man. I don't know, Aaron." And then I started telling you the clues that I saw, and you were like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." I was like, yeah. So I was expecting it. Wifey was expecting it. I mean, it happened at 9 a.m. I was home by 9:15.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, really quick. And I was like, yep, I'm back home. So, but even at that, I mean, it was a great opening. You know, the door was open to other great things. So, and yeah. no hard feelings, you know, but that's how I take a look at it. How else could you and still remain positive? You know, how else could you, you know, so. But enough about me. Let's talk about you. I want to know about your craziest job story. You tell me your craziest job story, and afterward we'll talk about it. Then you give me the quote of mine that you've chosen of the list, and that quote has something to do with or relates to one of the jobs I've had, and then we'll talk about it and we'll wrap it on up. Not to speed us up, by the way. I'm not trying to speed us up.
Oh, I'm going to fill this whole stinking hour. I mean, we're only 11 minutes. Yeah, my grandpa's name, I'm named after my grandpa.
Okay, very good. You're like, I'm named after my grandpa. And then in college.
It's unfair. So you have multiple podcasts to tell multiple job stories. And I got to pick one. So I'm going to pick a couple. They got some short ones just to like kind of lead us into the good ones. But it's tough to pick one.
It is hard to pick one. It is hard. That's why I started a podcast.
I've never had a bad job. I loved all my jobs. This is bad experiences of basically all of them. One of my first jobs after mowing the lawn, I dressed up as there was a small electronics store, and they hired me on multiple weekends to dress up in a pager, like a phone pager. And so you were.
How did I not know that?
it was fairly embarrassing. So I'd wave on the side of the road. And so it was a huge box. It would rest on your shoulders, and it was a wooden box covered in cloth. It had, you know, gloves with only four fingers, which I thought was hilarious. Why not, you know, and then these giant clown shoes.
Have you ever seen a gloved character with five fingers?
Does it look weird?
It looks weird.
Okay. So it was only four fingers. It was hard to walk. It was in Georgia in the summer. And so you're roasting this thing. It's like wearing like multiple quilts. And, my mom, she was worried about me, and we're dirt poor. I mean, if I wasn't poor, I wouldn't be dressed as a pager on the side of the road at 14 years old. And so, I mean,
Not even a cell phone.
My mom's gonna bring me, and she won't listen to this, so I don't want to embarrass her, but she'll never hear this, but she wanted to bring me Gatorade, but we didn't have Gatorade. And I think, I don't know if it's because we were poor or just because she assumed Gatorade is just lemonade with salt in it. And so she would bring me salted Gatorade, and I just like thought that was, it was just disgusting.
You had to get thirstier on that, right?
Yeah. And so I'm out there just sweating, and once in a while a kid would come up, and that would be fun. I got invited to a kid's birthday party, but once this kid was sitting in his mother's lap.
No. You got invited to a birthday party to show up as the
beeper? Show up as the clown. I mean, I didn't do it. It was the kid. The mom wasn't like, let's get this guy over here. Just the kid.
You should have pushed it.
This kid was sitting in his mother's lap in their car, and so, and maybe like an SUV, so we were kind of eye level, and the kid, they rolled the window down, wanted to say hi, and the costume had a big red nose on it. So what do you do as a kid? You punch the nose, which is fine, except for it was a wooden box that would sit on your shoulders, and so it had some, you know, sway to it. And so that wooden box came back and hit me in the nose, and my nose started bleeding inside the pager costume. So, I mean, it was just, there's not a lot of life lessons from that one. That was when I think about, as like when I think of worst jobs, that's like a first
I can
job.
Think of a life lesson. Don't get dressed up as a pager.
Don't get dressed up as a pager. The next was a cell phone, and it was more of like just a sleeping bag material. So you could
did end up getting, now was this a promotion? You're like, they were like, Ben, we're promoting you to cell phone.
Pages are out. Cell phones are in. You're up. Get out there. So, all right. That's always a good one. One of my best and worst jobs, I worked for Rockdale County in Georgia, Parks and Rec. And and you know, you think Parks and Rec, like the TV show, there's a lot of similarities between with that. But, and so I went in and I applied at like a local, you got like the pool and like a playground. That's what they do, like kids camps and that kind of stuff. So I apply there thinking maybe I'll get to work as in a summer camp. And this is after I graduated high school. So I'm right out of high school, 18 years old. And which, you know, like you think about how young you are back then, 18 years old. And I get this job and think, okay, cool. I'm going to run some kids camps. Maybe like, you know, help clean up the community center. I don't know, something. And they assigned me, to roadside work. And so my job was to drive a big truck around and weed eat street signs and pick up trash where the big tractors can't reach. So you think like you go down the road, you see these giant tractors pulling these huge mowers behind them, mowing the side of the road. That was my job, to weed eat where they couldn't get. Nice. And so my first day on the job, they just say, well, here's your truck. And I drove a Honda CRX. It's a two-door, basically Civic, but a two-door Civic, tiny, tiny car. And they give you a
hatchback? Was it a hatchback? Like
the hatchback, yeah.
The flat
in the back.
I mean, dude, I love that car. That was such a dope car, man.
Yeah, it was a 1988 Honda CRX. Loved it. But it was,
I remember that. I remember that car, dude. That was a dope car. That was a pretty cool car.
And so, but they gave me a four-door dually. You know, so you got, you know, multiple tires in the back, four-door. I've never driven a truck.
You could put your car in the truck.
Inside that car. And so I'm like, man, I'm going to, you know, kill somebody on this thing. It was already beat up, so I wasn't worth beating it up. And so I just go from thinking I'm going to be working kids camps to now I'm doing roadside work for these two guys that pull these tractors. And so it's me and these, you know, two or three other guys who would get in the truck in the morning. I would put the signs out to block off where they're going to be. And so then we would kind of go separate ways. They would mow all day, and I weed eat or pick up trash all day. But like, you know, any government job, I mean, it was probably like 2 hours I could probably get all my work done in about 2 hours for a full 8 hours of work. And, but you can't, I mean, you ride around, you know, right, when you're not working. And, so I got a couple of stories I'll share about that job, but that's my best and worst. The best was 40 as an 18 year old, 40 hours a week, guaranteed Monday to Friday for the whole summer. Right. And then I had that job for 3 summers after. So basically every summer, I mean, you come home the second you got, you know, good pay for what, you know, compared to like Blockbuster Video kind of job.
Right.
I didn't have to go looking. I just literally the first day back, I'd come there, I'd just show up on the site and just start working. So I got a few stories I could share, but that's it. You know, Parks and Rec, Rockdale County, Georgia, dream job and horror job all at the same time.
Getting punched in the nose as a pager, I still put that above anything you said here. Yeah.
Well, all right. So day one, I don't know if this was like just it happened this way or if it was like a hazing situation. Sorry, I got a kid screaming in the background. If you hear any shrieking, I don't know if you can hear it.
That's just normal to me.
Okay, good.
No matter where I'm at.
I'm not sure. I don't think this was a hazing because the guys I worked with, they're kind of older and they didn't seem like to care enough to even haze the new guy.
Right.
Or maybe he's been putting off his work and I started. And so they said, the very first thing I did, I get this truck. They said, go down and get some kind of permit or whatever with the truck and downtown, come back downtown. I mean, this is a town square.
Right.
And then the first assignment they put me on was to go pick up a dead deer and take it to the dump because it's been there for a while. And so they,
you by yourself?
Yeah.
And with what tools?
I got a gas mask or like a, you know, some kind of mask. You know, smell. Cause I mean, it's been a while. It's not like
rotting flesh.
It's this big, bloated. And you wanted a
fest. It's the holiday season.
Yeah. You wanted a holiday story. And I thought it's probably a deer. It could have been a reindeer. I'm not sure.
I'm going to go with helped clean up a dead reindeer.
Yeah. It was a reindeer
in Georgia.
And so it's summertime and this thing, I mean, it was just the worst. And so the trucker job had a little lift gate so you could, you know, the tailgate would lower down. So all I had to do was kind of drag it onto that, lift it up and shove it in. Cause I can't pick up a deer by myself, but they gave me gloves.
So no shovels? No shovels? Nothing?
No, just gloves, a gas mask, and me on day one, first day on the job. You know, I'm making good money. This is probably like $9 an hour, maybe, you know, back then it's probably good. Usually the public would pay like $7 an hour.
Right.
So, I mean, it was just the worst. So you, as soon as you touch it, as soon as you start pulling its legs, every orifice of this animal, just bugs are just, and things are pouring, like a horror movie, just like a waterfall of bugs are pouring out of its eyes, out of its mouth, out of its the backside, and the smell is just terrible. And I'm thinking, like, is this what did I do? Like, I really thought I was going to be like sitting poolside, helping kids.
Where are all the kids?
Find the locker room and stuff. Yeah, like, hey, here's, you know, you lose your mommy, she's over there. Nope, here I am moving a dead deer, taking it to the dump, and I mean, it was.
So was it a box you forgot to check?
I must have been. Yeah. Do you prefer to or not to drive a dead deer?
Oh, I mean, I guess it would be good in the form that you're filling out not to type in, I like working with kids. That's probably not the best thing for you to type.
Not the best thing. So I didn't, So that's what I get. So that was rough. But then it got, that was just one day. Like, I only had to move one dead deer. But then I start doing the regular job and it was, I mean, it's fine. Like, weed eating is easy and you're only weed eating around street signs. Like, it's just not that hard though. Your only job is not to get hit by a car. And to not sit around for too long when your job's done. But you find all kinds of weird trash. I mean, you're picking up trash, you know, 8 hours every single day of the summer on every single road in the county. That was one of the interesting things, you know, is you don't realize how much of your town or your county you haven't seen until you're working for the county and you drive on literally every single road. We had every road in the county. And so that was fun seeing every part of it, but seeing all the garbage you'll throw out.
This was there different garbage per area of the county?
Like, oh yeah, for sure. I mean, the snacks would change. But the other thing I didn't realize, this is before after the internet, before the internet was anywhere near as popular as it is today. And so people would throw out their magazines out the window. And, because, you know, you have time. And see, before you get home, they would throw magazines out the window, dirty mags out the window, apparently. And the lawnmower. out the window. And the lawnmower would hit these magazines and just shred them. And so. It looked like a massacre, just body parts everywhere. And so here I am, like, a little stick, you know, picking up all the trash. I didn't learn. That was a thing. Back before the internet, that was a thing people did. And so I did that for a couple summers. It was.
I can just imagine. Or like probably driving on, trying to find a country road. I got to get this far away from my home. Drive 4 miles out of way.
No one can see this. So, but what made it even worse is I had
Well, hold on. Can you imagine? You definitely have to get as secluded. Can you, cause obviously if you're just around the corner and you do that, no one's going to see you. And it's never going to track back to you, but your mind starts playing. Can you imagine, like, the worst that could happen is not the worst, but if you throw it out and then a cop sees you and then pulls you over and picks up that
for littering.
You got to go in front of a judge because you're distributing pornography. That's not good.
I think probably just littering.
It's distributing.
I think you're allowed to do that. I think. This was 2005, I think.
The problem is he didn't have a license.
This is 2001. Yeah, 2001. So the internet was just barely. I mean, we're past the CDs and the mails days, but yeah, so that was fun. And then, just picking up trash on the side of the road was never great, but what made it worse was I was also responsible. Again, I'm 18 years old, given a lot of responsibility. My first, like, I mean, I worked at Publix, I worked at PetSmart, I worked in dog grooming, dog bather, and that kind of stuff. But this is kind of like getting to my first real job where I'm working around, like, just grown men, just
right.
The worst. Some of the greatest and some of the worst people. And there'll be some insight there I can give. But part of my job was, I found out after like a week or so, is I would meet at this, you know, one of the government buildings, pick up my truck and refuel all the gas I waste all day. And I would have to pick up community service at people that are there that are working their hours off. And so here I'm 18 years old and I got, like, you know, hardened criminals in the back of the dually doing my job for me. And I would just drop them, take them to a road and say, just, I'll be back in an hour to come pick you back up and drive them to a different road. And, which in theory, it's nice to have someone else doing your weed eating and trash picking for you.
Right.
But as an 18-year-old spending any amount of time in a truck alone with a guy on his, like, fourth DUI. And just, I mean, you think about it now, there's no way I would let my kids do that. Like, there were some pretty awkward moments. Looking back now, I think I should not have been alone with any of these characters.
Right.
And so that, I mean, just, it was just a very strange job. So I mean, there's a few people that were nice. I mean, of course, people are just in, you know, bad luck situations. They're working their hours off. You know, no big deal. But when you're 18 years old trying to manage that situation, telling these guys they're in their 30s and 40s,
yeah,
to go weed eat. And they either wouldn't get out of the truck or, I mean, it was just really strange.
Oh, that is so weird.
That was very weird. Thankfully, the next summer I did actually get to work at the parks and we would mow, around senior centers, around playgrounds and parks and stuff. And that was a little easier.
That's the closest you ever got to the playground.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, and then again, we would do like one or two, like two sites a day, the three of us, and we killed. I mean, any joke you hear about people wasting government time and money on these jobs, it's, I mean, it is.
Oh yeah.
Embarrassing. It's the amount of time we would waste. And I'll give you an example is my third summer. So I did three summers in a row and I kept getting my buddies hired there. I'm like, guys, you got to come work here. This is great money, easy job. You know, even though it's outside all day long in the summer, it's still an easy job. It tells you a lot about it. I got put back on the road crew my third summer. And by then I'm a vet. I mean, I know how to work the county. Me and the county are like tight now. And so I know how to work the job. And so they put me back on duty, but I don't have to meet the tractor guys. I just have my own truck, my own weed eater. And I know where they're going to be and I go weed eat around it. And then as there's at the first day on the job, as they're separating out jobs, they send my buddy Kyle, who you've met, I believe, to be on that crew with me.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah. So me and my best friend from high school, they put us on the same truck. Now remember I said it takes me about 2 hours to finish 8 hours days of work.
Yeah.
And now I'm doing the exact same job with one other person on the, like there's not more work. There's just one more person in the truck. So
it's your best friend.
Yeah. It would take us 2 hours to do the work. And then we just goof off and ride around. We're tight. So we take turns sleeping while the other ones would drive. We would play a game where we do left turns. We had to get at a four-way stop. We said we need to get to this side of the intersection by only making left turns through the county. It would take us hours. Just left turn our way back. I mean, just such a waste. And then at one point, the tractors kept working, but the guys that would operate the tractors wouldn't tell anybody. And so they weren't even doing anything. And so the And so we're not going to be the ones to chime in and ruin these guys, this is their full, this is their forever job. I'm just like, look, just tell me where to ride around and I'll ride around. So, in some ways those are fun for a bit, but it helps you realize, man, this is not the life that I, cause these are, you know, these are adults. This is their job, which is great. You know, this is the job they want and they're doing well with it. I realize like there's more to life than this, just riding around and using taxpayer gas money. It was, if there was one raindrop, everything shut down. It's like, all right. We'll go to senior center. We're playing ball.
What happens with rain? Eventually, maybe there might be lightning.
It could be lightning. So safety first.
Oh, that was so great.
It was a great job, but it was a terrible job in a lot of ways. I mean, it's just a lot. It's just not a great job.
I relate two podcasts ago, two episodes ago. I had Mario, my best friend Mario. He was on, and we talked about working at a junkyard with like a salvage yard for auto salvage yard with grown men. And he started when he was 12 or 13. I started when I was 13 and they thought we were 18 and we were talking on the podcast. We're like, we would never. Now, first of all, for me thinking like I have an 18-year-old son, even to put them with those older men that are rough and I'd have to think hard about that. A 13-year-old? No, that's not good. That's not good.
No, I remember one time the guys that ran the tractors, they play video games or something. They were mentioning something about it. And I told my dad about it. And he's like, I don't think you're going to go and play video games with those guys. I think after he said that, I was like, I think I know what he's talking about. And then years later, I'm like, oh man, I'm so glad I didn't go. I mean, maybe it's fine, but looking back, there's an air of just like, no, this is not appropriate. Just like, I just needed to stay away. So yeah, I agree. Like, I think you could work for the county at 18, but at a site like you're working at 13, 14, man.
It's rough, right? Working, and even at 18, I mean, you're an adult because of the number that we put here in America to say you're an adult, you know? But man,
There's no adult. The problem is there's no adults in the room. It'd be one thing if you're 18 and you're working at a good company that's looking out for their young adults.
The problem is
you get in situations where it's like there's no adults. There's grown men and women who just have that no one's watching over anything.
And not to judge a lot of those people on like work release or a lot of those people, not to judge, but they're not there. You don't know what they're there for, but they're not there because they followed the rules. They're not there because
they're there because they're not allowed to drive themselves around anymore.
That is absolutely wild. Yeah, that is those are some good stories, Ben. Those are some really good stories. I appreciate that. I can't wait to hear the quote that you have for me. We're going to jump right into that, but real quickly, let's take a quick moment to thank this episode's sponsor.
Hi, I'm Ray Rossini. And I'm Tony Francisco, and we're the hosts of MSP Dispatch.
Every Tuesday and Friday, we'll bring you the news, community events, and discussions that are important to MSPs today. Whenever possible, we'll also include industry experts to provide their insight, and all within 30 minutes.
Available on YouTube, Pocket Casts, Spotify, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher in audio or video form. We're everywhere you want us to be.
We hope to see you next time on MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel.
All right. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, leaders out there in computer land. Now here's a time where I get to talk about my, one of my 38 jobs that I've had. And I, the job is selected by my guest, which is Ben.
Ben
has seen a list of quotes, and he's going to tell me this quote for the first time right now. And I will talk about that job. Go for it, Ben.
It was easy to pick the quote, and I'll tell you why after I tell you. Okay. The quote I chose was, you should be a pool boy or some lonely housewife living around here. I picked that one because recently, maybe like a few months ago, me and the wife were driving in the car talking about different jobs she would want to do or something. And I just randomly told her, I was like, you should just start like cleaning pools or something. Yeah, I forget. I was in passing. And she was like, so offended. Like, what? Why? Where'd that come from? And in my head, I'm thinking like, if I lost my job today and like the right. market is just going nuts, I'm like, I mean, there's a ton of pools, you know, and like, it's not, you know, there, it's a little bit hard, but you can kind of figure it out and get by. Like, I just like, it'd be fun. Like, if I can pull up, go door to door, find 15 pools, make some money. Like, I'm thinking like, what a great little side gig. But in her head, she's thinking like, that's like, I'm just going to clean pool all of a sudden. Like, that's what I'm going to do. And I was belittling her or something. So anyway, so I think that's why I told her, like, you should go be a pool boy for some lonely old woman out there. So that's the one I chose. Because I would do that. I think that'd be, I mean, you're outside, you're by the pool, it's great backyard, you know, it's, I would do that. Right, over mowing lawns, I would do pool work.
Oh, definitely. Oh, hands down. Hands down. Pool work over lawns, 100%.
All I want is one of those rusted out, like those trucks that look great in the whole front half, and they got one of those rusted out tailgates, you know? It's like,
because of all the water, all the bleach, all the chlorine.
Have they not figured out how to prevent that from happening? Like, you think, like, in all the years of advancements in the pool industry, they can't
how find long?
A pool gate or just like not splash their truck with chemicals. Yeah.
How long have we had pools? Swimming pools like this, right?
Just keep the salt water off or something. I don't get it. I mean, I guess not their truck or something, but I see them like, there's not a way to prevent this from happening. Like it's, anyway.
I see that there's an opportunity for a new invention or new, something, new process.
Something. I don't know. Like, there's gotta be some reason it's not invented. Cause I'm thinking like, you know, call it WeatherTech. Like WeatherTech, just make a little rubber mat that flops down. Like it's not, right. I don't get it, but there must be some reason why. And maybe it's a rite of passage.
Well, anyway, rite of passage. What cool. if it's like firemen? You know, you remember Jeremy Queen, right? So mm-hmm. he was telling me how he has a firefighter. You know, he's a fireman, firefighter. He's a fire guy. He has one of those hats.
Okay.
And it's like, it's a rite of passage. Like the dirtier, the more scuffed up, that means that you've been in a lot. And there's some people who go ahead and scuff it up themselves. Right. And everyone's like, no, yes. That's, you didn't do that. Don't do that.
You just put your head in the fireplace at home. Right. Just let the fire go for a minute.
You see Jim's truck? All that fake rust? All that fake corrosion?
No, that reminds me. When I was working on my last summer working for the county, and we were supposed to be out there mowing and, you know, and weed eating, and me and my buddy worked together, and the tractors weren't running. So it was weeks. There's no tractor running, which means we had zero work. Not like a little work, like zero work. And we would come back with fake sweat. We put fake sweat.
Yeah.
Just for all listeners out there, I was pretty young and, you know, again, my job was not to upset the guys that ran the tractor. So what I always said, I did. And so I had to make sure I kept their ruse going. They were living large. That was the best summer of their life. They peaked anyway. So yeah, we come back with fake sweat. So
nice. Anyway. I've done that before. Yeah. So that quote.
Yeah, that quote. Tell me about it, Aaron. I would love to hear more about it.
Would you imagine that quote came from when I worked for Bank of America?
I'm a member of the Bank of America. Everyone says, oh, you need to get away from these banks. It's just such a pain to switch banks. And it's not like they're everywhere. It's convenient. I'm sure I'm paying fees I don't know about. Big deal. Not the end of the world. I could not imagine working for a bank.
Dude.
Unless you're like VP, like one of 1,000 VPs in a job that no one's paying attention to. Like now that's not bad. I'm assuming you were more on the local bank level.
Yeah, definitely. I was definitely on the teller level, on the level of teller. And let me tell you this. This is in the very beginning, just to give an idea. I was 19 years old. This was, I was 18. Oh, both of our stories come from when we were 18. Cause I remember
that's
I turned
a teller
19.
At 18. You know,
yeah, well, it's here's why.
You're Spanish? And, and you're bilingual?
I'm not bilingual at all.
they just profiled you and said, like, this guy can help our Spanish.
Tu quieres dinero? So this is in the very beginning of like monster.com. Remember monster.com? It's still around, I think, but this is in the very beginning. This is 2001.
Oh, yeah, my first
2001,
job.
2001. Yeah. So this is how early it was. I woke up one morning. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. I got on my laptop and I looked at monster.com and that posting had just come up. I didn't know it just come up, but I applied and I think I somehow found a number and I called. Like I applied and called, which was like the corporate, I didn't know any better. It's like the corporate headquarters in downtown Tampa. And I called and I found out it routed out to, I was like, listen, I just applied for this job. And it was so new that everyone wasn't like what they'd say now. Well, just apply online. You're fine. So I applied online. They're like, yeah, we'll get you right to the right person. And the lady started.
Really?
Playing.
That's a surprising experience. I mean, even like smaller companies, it's hard. Like,
Think about this. This is in the beginning of like job placement online. And I called, here's my thinking. I called up and I said, hey, I was just online and I filled out a job application, blah, blah, blah. And I just wanted to get some more information. I want to talk to the person. I sent in all my information. The person on the phone, maybe not knowing exactly, again, in the very infancy, they were like, oh, it's online. It sounds important. You know, it's something online. Let's send. So the lady was shocked that I got in touch with her. And I said, yes, I told her I just, and it wasn't difficult to find this person at all. And she said, yeah, I actually just saw, we were just talking about it. We just posted this morning. You're the first person to apply to it. And I said, well, I'd like to have an interview. And she said, okay. So I went downtown in the Bank of America building, went up there. And, during the interview, I was very.
For the teller jobs were all interviewed at their at one of their headquarters. It wasn't you go to the local bank.
I don't think I ever interviewed at the local bank thinking about it. I don't think I ever did. I think I just got hired by the corporate office and then I was placed there. And it was like the one I got, during the interview, she says, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I said, in 5 years, I would already have covered GQ magazine. And I straight faced it and she laughed and I was halfway joking because I was very dubious to the world. You know, I was like halfway. I was like, I can do that. And she said, and she was like, hi, I go, and I just looked at her straight and she stopped laughing. She goes, oh, I said, I don't see why I can't.
And I had a guy tell me I had a guy that's really good at hula hooping and karate, which is fine, fine hobbies. But when you're not expecting it in an interview, and this is not like, this is not the whole time interviewing for like a lawnmowing.
I'm really good at karate.
And hula, it was a hula thing that got me. And he said he was gonna like work on, he could like practice outside, like on the trees, you know, during his lunch breaks and stuff. Again, this is like a corporate job. And so I could see that lady having a hard time, like taking that answer seriously. Cause you're just not, like, again, it's a serious thing. Hobbies are like by far, like, are awesome. And if someone's really good at karate or hula hooping, I would get all into like learning more about it. But in an interview setting, when you get hit with something like that, man,
18 years old. Oh, looking now, I'd be like, what am I talking about? You know, I was 18, but I got the job and I started working there and it was so funny because there was a class system inside the bank. So it was like the main, it was like a finance district. It was near the airport. So it was like a main bank. Like there was so much money coming through this bank and drop off. It was insane how much money was actually coming through and flowing through the bank. So there was two stories of the bank. The first story was like the bank, you know, the bank.
Yeah.
Pretty basic. The second story were offices and there were, investors and like, you know, higher level. So those people were like, they were up there. Those were people who they have families, maybe grandchildren, like they've been there for a while. Yeah. That's where they're at. And downstairs were like the lowlies. Right. So, but even at the lowlies and they wouldn't communicate with us between the levels. And even on the first floor, there was like the personal bankers, you know, the people you see for loans or whatever. And then they were at a certain level and then the tellers. And even like the management, the teller management was like below, like the manager for the, it was so weird. Oh, it was so weird. And, so many weird things happened there. So one of the stories I told, was just recently talking about, being in a, what's it called? Doing stand-up comedy. And it was the last one, last episode, actually doing stand-up comedy or one of the last, and, getting on a morning show in Tampa, MJ morning show in Tampa. I did a little joke and he yelled at me and he was like, get out, guy. He was not happy with me. And then he sent
like the joke, or were you allowed to be there?
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually interviewing for an intern there and I was doing stand up comedy. He kicked me out.
Were you supposed to do a joke? Like you were there, like, let's make a joke. And he hated it so much, kicked you out.
Well, he didn't like the joke, but the joke was on him because he was being such an absolute jerk to me the whole time. So he was just being mean. So I did a joke at his expense and he was like, get out, yelled at me. And then, I went from there directly to my job at Bank of America, and they found out quickly I worked at Bank of America because it was on my paperwork I filled out because I wanted to be an intern and I wasn't expecting on that time to get at him. So he sent two of his people on his show to the bank with recording, and you're not allowed to record in the bank. You can't. So with a video camera, and I'm in the back. I just got to work. I'm counting down my money. I'd been working there for almost a year. And I'm counting down my money, you know, about to start up. And my manager opens the door. She's like, Aaron, what's going on? And I'm like, what are you talking? She goes, just stay there. Someone is in here yelling and going crazy. I never imagined that would happen. So I didn't think it was, it was something unrelated.
I wouldn't put that together either.
Like, it was one. And mind you, this is 30 minutes. About an hour or two after it happened.
So you listed your bank location on that form, I guess.
Yeah. Because I was 18, not thinking about it. And, they were like, and I heard some commotion and everything in the front, and another person came and said, stay in here. I was like, I'm literally thinking that one of my customers came up and they're mad at me and they're like yelling, they have a gun. You know, your mind's going everywhere, you know? Yeah. So, and then they go to leave. I didn't know they went to leave, but I looked out the window and I saw them running in the parking lot out. I was like, oh, I am in so much trouble. I was like, this is not. Yeah, and so they came in and they said, well, Aaron came to our place of work and started making a commotion. So we're coming over here and we're making a commotion. No one at that bank was happy with me, even the people who were my friends, because they just uproared everything. They were like, what did you do? Yeah, that was a bad time. And it's from there. So my manager pulled me in, or the manager of the bank manager pulled me in, Mike McGlucci. You're on blast, Mike. Mike McGlucci. He said, Aaron, he goes, what is going on? And I told him everything. I was like, I don't know. He was like, dude, I don't. And he was just like this the whole time. Dude, I don't, like, he had no idea. He's like, I've got the president, the local president of Bank of America calling me asking about this kid on my team. What is going on? Because MJ got on the number one radio show.
Big show.
And he got on and he was like, Aaron, but he was doxing. Now it's called doxing, right? Straight doxing me. He said, everyone, go to Bank of America. If he's inside, go inside and you curse him out. You go through the drive. Oh no. They ended up moving me to the drive-through line, which was a separate building from the main building. And then, so he found out everyone, this went on for over a week. Get out there, drive over there, and you go off. I had people in the, where's Aaron? Not even just pulling, where's Aaron? Hey, Aaron! Beep, 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 beep. And sometimes they would curse. No, you know, they would just curse at me, even if they weren't in my line. Hey, you can tell Aaron, da da da. And then every now and then I'd get lucky. And, you're Aaron, aren't you? Da, 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 da. I ended up not wearing my name tag. Dude, it was stressful. I remember, oh man, that was really,
got,
that was a rough
he got you.
He dude, got that you was, good. He got me good. So it was, what happened, I ended up getting let go. Not really. Had I known, if I had more information, more knowledge, like I got done wrong. Is what happened.
You should be called Morgan and Morgan real quick on that.
I
the radio station, go after the Bank of America for wrongful.
Oh yeah. Firing. So So he said, he's like, Aaron, he said, this is where he said, he's like, Aaron, what are you doing? I told him the situation. He goes, man, you just need to be cleaning pools for like some rich single lady over here in this area, which that area was right next to South Tampa, which is like big money. So I took so much offense, just like your wife kind of took, you should be a pool boy for some rich, lonely housewife who lives around here. Yeah. So I took offense to it.
This is your boss, right? Your manager.
Yeah. Not just my boss. This is four levels above me. This is four tiers above me. Like an assistant manager, a teller manager, banking manager, and then him. And I'm like, oh. And he's like, man, you just need to go work out there. And I took offense to that because here I am, 19 years old. I've got a job at Bank of America. I felt really good about it. I was going to become I had plans to become a personal banker. And here you are, man, I'm the youngest person here. And here you are. I got here. And now you're telling me I should be a pool boy somewhere. Now in retrospect, forget whatever he said. I should have been a pool boy somewhere. I was 18. Now the flip side of that is like, I was 18 years old. I definitely should have been a pool boy somewhere.
Yeah, you're goofing off at radio stations. I mean.
Oh man, it was the right move. And so anyways, he told me, he said, hey, listen, either I can fire you or you can quit, which is where you can't say that. You know, I can fire you or you can quit. And he's like, here's the thing. If you quit, then we'll make it where if you want to come back and work at Bank of America, you can. But if I fire you, there's no way you can ever work at Bank of America. Now, in my 18-year-old brain, I'm like, oh, but this, you know, this has been the one place I've been getting income for over a year.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, well, this is, I don't want to burn my bridge. Going back to that, I'd be like, man, fire me. Burn my bridge. Burn it. Fire me. See what happens. What did I do?
There's a lot of other banks. You got Fifth Thirds out there. I mean, you got so many local banks. Yeah.
Right. I didn't even go back to banking. I was like, cause it was a teller job, you know, it was like, do I really want to do this? You know, it's, and I kind of actually did, but either way, yeah, that was a fun experience, man. I remember here, 18 years old, 19, I was dating this girl and we broke up and I was so tore up about it. And this is how, like, this is why like fragile, like young people, is really hard to be in a professional spot because, dude, I remember being like, there's a partition behind the tellers where people can go and like, they like tellers and count their money. And dude, I was just back. I was like, I remember, and, Rebecca, my manager, who she was sweet as anything. She came around. She's like, it's rubbing my back. It's okay. It's okay. I was like, I just don't want it. Oh yeah. That was a lot of these sound like me issues.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, at some point it's you, right? So I wouldn't blame, you know, but I'm sure MJ in the morning show had, you know, some culpability in there, but.
Oh, we've talked since then. He and I have talked since then and a few times. And I actually ended up being like a regular call into his morning show and he'd be like, hold on. And he'd tell the whole story and I'd be on there for like 10 minutes, just part of the convo. So, you know, it worked out to make for a good story. But, man, when I was going through that, man, that was tough. That was some stressful stuff. Cause yeah. I was also going to school. I was also going, you know, I was also in college. So that was, it was rough. It was a little bit of rough. That bank, I had so many good times there. I really did. I had some fun times there. Met a lot of, like, that was the first time I actually saw the amount of wealth that people have. And it just happened to be that not just looking in their bank account, which not just like if they're like, yeah, I need to open up my account. And I see like, man, you're like 20 something and you've got three, like six digits in your account. Like, what did you do? And let me do that, please. You know, I mean, that's, you know, ridiculous. Or like, there's a huge church over by that way that would deposit, twice a week in like the overnight deposit. And each deposit, like 50, 60, 70 grand, you know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, having to count all that is the amount of wealth that comes through that people just the people unassumingly, like that you wouldn't assume that would have.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
No, it's good to open your eyes up to that too. And cause I mean, like I know where you came from, good old Mayo, Florida, and where I came from. It's not like.
Whoa, pause. I'm sorry. I did not come from Mayo, Florida. I came from Tampa, Florida. My dad moved up to Mayo.
You're not from Mayo.
No, but I did not grow up.
I grew up poor. Yeah. Well, and so, you know, you kind of think you peak. And again, like, it's not about chasing money, but it's about opening up like opportunities. And so you see, right, like, okay, there's, you know, people that are like nice, normal, stable and responsible that have, you know, certain levels of income or certain kind of, you know, you could have peaked at a teller, which is fine if you want to do that. Or I could have peaked at the county job, but it's like, you got to open up and see, okay, there's other things out there. I lived in West Virginia for a long time, and we finally moved out when I was in middle school, I think. My goal was to work in a coal mine and marry a girl that worked at Big Boy's, LB's Big Boy, which is a diner. And my parents were like, no, you've got to get out of here. Like, that was my dream. I was going to be a miner, you know, and because I wanted to picket, you know,
right,
the coal mine would shut down and they would do the picket lines and stuff and the whole town would be.
I've always wanted black lung.
Yeah, the town would shut down because these unions were so strong, and so everybody would pick it. And so that's what I was esteemed to be. Now everyone there is fracking every piece of property, so they're all doing great now.
Right.
That was my goal. But same thing, it's like, let's think bigger, you know, like, we don't need to chase, you know, millions of dollars, but let's at least broaden our opportunities a little bigger. And so having that chance to watch people, you know, see what kind of jobs they have, money they have, it gives you a little bit of perspective.
You know, so here's two stories that I just remembered off that. Something you said, other opportunities. I remember when I was working there, this is right when my girlfriend and I broke up, and I was all sad and distraught. And it was one of the customers who would actually wait to come through my line, you know, and we'd talk and everything. And he was a photographer, and he said, "Hey man, have you ever thought about photography?" I said, "No." He's like, "It's really simple. And here's the thing." He said, "I've got a big wedding event to do in Hawaii. It was like in a month." And he said, my studio's in Ybor. I need an extra person. You seem like a pretty cool guy. I can teach you photography. Would you like to come? Would you like?" And I was like, "I'm going to have to think about it."
Yeah.
that would have been such a great opportunity. If you ever want to, there's no opportunities where I'm like, I wish I didn't. I still worked at that job. But there are some where I was like, I wish I took that opportunity. That would have been a cool opportunity. Who knows where I'd be now? You know, that's why I always look back at, I try not to think about that, because where I love who I'm with. I love my kids. I love where, you know, I could be in a much worse or different situation if I made other, you know, other decisions. And, so I try not to dwell on that, but I think that probably would be pretty cool, going to Hawaii as a photographer. Why not?
Yeah. I think back, sometimes you look at, you know, success we've had. When I think of success, I'm talking about, you have a home, a job, and a family, and you're in a position where everyone's happy and healthy. You're not paycheck to paycheck. And it's like, okay, how did we get here? You know, oh, we got a pool. Like, you would never think having a pool. It's like, you know, I've reached a level of mediocrity that even I didn't think I could get to. And then you look at others that are really struggling, and, but I always look back at sacrifices you've made, or I've made, or my family's made, of things that you could have done. Like, we could have chased after, you know, we'll use you like the Hawaiian thing, whatever, or, but you know, why not? Maybe you already had a job. You don't want to leave the bank job, whatever. It's the same thing at a certain
time. I was sad because of my ex-girlfriend.
Had to leave. But you know, there's jobs and things I've done, like, oh, like, maybe I could teach abroad, you know, for a while. And I had that opportunity through a university I used to attend. Sometimes I regret not doing it, but other times I'm thinking, like, I was so nervous to get out of my corporate job at the time, because it's so hard. Like, when you leave a corporate job and you have a communication degree and no other real experience, it's like, it's so hard to get back into a good job, especially back then. Now it's made a little easier. It was so hard. And so there's a lot of things I didn't do because I wanted to stay a little stable, keep the same job. And you regret missing some of the opportunities. But then it does afford, you know, the stability over those years is like investing. You keep investing in yourself. A little bit of time. You have to say no to a few exciting things.
Right.
But now look at us. We're on a podcast. I got a microphone.
No one can stop us now. There's only a million of them.
I mean, it's only going up from here.
Right. So very cool. So Ben, let's go ahead. I want to go ahead and start landing this. So I know you said there weren't any life stories that you gathered from that previous job, but what life stories, if not from that job, what life stories have you gathered from maybe cumulatively your jobs, or your best job, or that job, whatever, maybe the beeper job.
That's so
great.
Man, one of them was the value of just having those 40 hours a week guaranteed when you come back from the summer, and like having a job instead of spending so much time wasting trying to find another job and not actually working, like just putting in the work all the time. And so that county job stunk, right. But I could have quit, but then every summer when I come back, I'd have a guaranteed job. And so that was awesome. You know, and that gave me the ability to work all, you know, to not work during the school year to make much money in the summer. And there's other jobs I've had that I just kind of stuck it through, and I could have quit before I had another job. And so that's the one thing I really learned is you just don't, like, even if the job's not great, man, you got to stick it out, in my opinion. A lot of people say differently now, right? Like, you know, quit and then find the next job. I'm big on stuff like just no job's perfect. Keep that imperfect job and see what you can make of it. And then also, you know, or get a new job, but don't quit. Don't give up on something until you have the next thing lined up. At least that's where I'm at. And that's been, I think it's helped me out a lot. And so I could have quit the county job for a lot of reasons for my safety, but.
Definitely. I think from my experience, my experience, the best thing I can take from that is I should have been a pool boy. I should have been a pool boy. I've got the jawline for it. That's the jawline of a pool boy.
Yeah, I did. Right, it worked.
Yeah. I think, you know, one thing I learned, I think, is to stay lightened up in, but not too lightened up. Like, so little things can come off being very unprofessional. And I didn't realize that at that time, and I didn't take it heed to the lesson during that time. I'll tell this quick story real quick because of the way it was presented. So, you know, there's a lot of repetition in being a teller because you're typing in all. So, you know, you get really quick at counting money. You get really quick at typing in numbers and social security and all the, you know, and then a lot of time you're waiting for the system. And I need fidget spinners. Back then there were no fidget spinners. So I would type in and I'd have a rhythm to it because it would help my ADD. So I'd have a rhythm. And then when I was waiting, I'd tap on the desk or something like that. And I'd go, all right, let's go. But I would talk with the people. They would laugh. So I had someone, come and shadow me, you know, like in an office space where like those two guys are coming. So what is it that
what do you do here?
So I had someone sit behind me. She sat behind me and she observed me, and I was like, I'm nailing it. And whenever she spoke with me, the only thing she could say, I mean, she sat with me for about 2 hours. The only thing she could say was me tapping on things, right? And she stayed on that for like 5 minutes, just talking. She goes, why are you doing that? It looks stupid. You shouldn't do that. And she was like, I was like, you are trying to tell. And because of the way she said it, it looks stupid. You know, it looks dumb. She goes, and then you do this. She goes, what is that? I remember her doing it. I was like,
this is a little noisy.
I don't do that. And I'm like, you're the one who. So because of that, I was like, okay, I'm not going to listen to you because I'm 18 years old, not recognizing. All right, maybe I should just try to find the golden nugget everywhere, you know? And I shut it off. But then I realized, I was like, okay, later on, I was like, I can see how that can be perceived as unprofessional. So trying to have a more focus on and be more aware of what I might seem to be, you know, just regular me, but maybe it might come off, unprofessional. I think about that every now and then when I'm like, all right, you know, how is this going to be perceived in a professional setting? You know, and you know, it does differ because business and finance are very, very serious by nature.
That's the exact example. The author, I can remember her name, but of the book Radical Candor, she used when she had a manager, she had a great meeting. She thought she comes out and the manager, I'll keep it fast, but she basically said like, how do you think that went? She's like, oh, it's great. This and that. And she's like, well, you should practice your speeches a little more. Like you say a lot of, you know, she kind of tried to be nice about it. And the lady kept kind of blowing it off. And she finally said, like, I can tell by your hand movement, I need to be a little more direct. You sound stupid when you talk, you know, in these presentations. Right. And because she said, I forget which word it was, this or like something like so many times. And we've all been there where it's like, we have filler words. And then sometimes you use the filler words so much, it is a little uncomfortable.
It's so much, you sound dumb.
Yeah, you sound dumb. And so it became one of those moments for her that was like, oh, she really worked on it and got better. And so, yeah.
Yeah, but what did it start off with? It didn't start off with, hey, let me tell you, that's dumb.
Yeah, she came in with a kinder, looking out for her. Yeah,
my feedback was, what is this? You look dumb. And then, of course, my reaction was, I fulfilled the prophecy. Awesome. Ben, thank you so much for being my guest. I enjoyed this greatly. I'd love to have you on in the future. I love you. You're a great guy. You're a great person. Connect with Ben on LinkedIn.
And I work at Line Guard. If you want to learn more, I'll tell you all about it.
He will. He's got a podcast coming out soon that's all about Line Guard. It's only Line Guard.
That's news to them and me, but we'll do it. Yeah. Right now. Just keep this recording. Yeah. Aaron, right. I appreciate it, man. I enjoyed it. It's always good hearing from you, and I appreciate being on the podcast. I've been keeping up with this one. I just watched the Mario one a few days ago, so
awesome.
I'm anxious to hear the next job and the next guest. How many more episodes are you doing?
All of them.
So 38.
Well, it can go beyond. I've got other stories from the, like, I've only told, like, some of the stories from the
It's not like you committed to, like, 15 jobs. Yeah.
And we can also pivot. You know, that's where I'm looking in the future. We can pivot this, and it can be talking about other things about jobs or not jobs. Or maybe it just, we end up just talking about the county, driving around the county and wasting taxpayers' money, Ben.
I want to see one with 38 guests. Just 38 screens going.
Oh, that'd be great. One person who used to work with me on each of those jobs.
Yeah.
That's the season finale, guys. All right. Everyone, we love you. Thank you so much. And we will see you around next time. See ya.
See you, buddy.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Hey, you amazing leaders out there in computer land. Did Peter Piper pick a pack of pickled peppers? I don't know, but I'm positive Peter Piper probably would have preferred to pick a pack of Blue Chew gum to pop his pickled pepper into a proud and proper pecker. Blue Chew gum. By the way, Ben, don't worry. None of that is going to be used. I just wanted to have, because we're adding ads, so I needed to see a timing of what ad space. I thought that was good wording.
Did you write that down ahead of time?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's really good. If you ad-libbed that, I mean, I know you've done some good comedy work, but that'd be very impressive. If you ad-libbed that, I was being professional over here. I'm like, I don't laugh, because there's a lot of these ads out there, and it's a need. I was like, I really wish you would have, you know, given me a heads up on this commercial before, just so I could try not to, like, lose it.
That's what I wanted to. I thought of that. I wrote that out about a couple hours ago. I'm very proud of my Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers. That one's good for me. All right. And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, let's see, going in the outtakes. All right.